Karl Marx, in John Lewis's book, The Life and Teachings of Karl Marx, a book that I, by the way, purchased when I went to college back in 67, came with a wrapping over it with a note in it. Now, this will show you the changes we have today. A note from the FBI suggesting that I should not read such material. Wish I'd kept the note. Quote, "It is not individualism that fulfills the individual. On the contrary, it destroys him. Society is a necessary framework through which freedom and individuality are made realities." In other words, according to Karl Marx, the child having to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate itself in order to do the father's will is not what fulfills the child. Quote unquote, "On the contrary, it is the father's authority, the child having to do right and not wrong according to the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth." See, that's discussion that destroys him, that prevents him from becoming his self, thinking and acting according to his carnal nature, according to what he has in common with all the children of the world. That's dialogue. The child's desire for approval from others, requiring him to compromise in order to get along, that is, in order to build relationship, quote, "is the necessary framework through which freedom," unquote, "from the father's authority," and, quote, "freedom," unquote, "to lust after pleasure," that is, to do what he wants without having a guilty conscience, which the father's authority engenders, are made reality. So it's not in discussion the child is liberated from the father's authority. It's in dialogue. In discussion, he's made subject to the father's authority. In dialogue, he is liberated from the father's authority. Norman Brown, in his book Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History, he wrote, "The individual is emancipated in the social group. Freud commented that only through the solidarity of all the participants could the sense of guilt be assuaged." This is all about the use of psychology. Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx had the same agenda. The negation of the father's authority for Marx in society, for Freud in the individual. But they had the same outcome as their intended purpose. Self-perfection of the human individual is fulfilled in union with the world in pleasure. Sound familiar to Marx? To enjoy the present reconciles you to the actual? According to Freud, the ultimate essence of our being is erotic. Eros is fundamentally a desire for union with objects in the world. Eros is the foundation of morality. This is the foundation of our culture today. Look at our culture. Look what's happened. It's because everybody's turned to psychology. There is no father's authority. Thus saith the Lord, in dialogue. Psychology is grounded upon dialogue. It cannot survive in true, pure, unadulterated discussion, what God says. Now, ministers will have degrees in psychology, saying they're going to help the congregation. What they're doing is they're damning. Listen to me. They're damning every soul in that room because they're making them dependent upon their opinions. On the day of judgment, your opinion does not count. No one's opinion counts. It's what God says. And if you do psychology, you have to suspend Christ, the Son of God, on the cross in order to be yourself. According to Sigmund Freud, the guilty conscience is a product of the father's authority, which sustains the father's authority in society. In other words, dad tells you what you can and can't do, so you can't do that. Your conscience then bothers you because if you think about doing it, you're out with other people, and you might actually tell them what they're doing is wrong. And so you sustain the father's authority because you do not participate in the compromising of the culture. It is only in the social group that the guilty conscience can be negated. This is a purpose for the group grade. Again, read the issue. Group grade. According to the Marxist, Norman Brown, without the social group, the child in society remains subject to the father's authority. Therefore, the child in society can only be liberated from the father's authority and the guilty conscience, which the father's authority engenders, in the social group, which justifies the child's carnal nature. That is eros. That is lust. Kurt Lewin, who edited the Frankfurt School's paper, a group of Marxists who came here in the 30s from Frankfurt, Germany, fleeing fascist Germany in the 30s. He was never a member, but he was in their camp, and they were jealous of whoever wrote. They certainly would have been careful about whoever edited their paper. His work was foundational to the changing of this nation and the world. Kurt Lewin, in his Resolving Social Conflicts, selected papers on group dynamics. He's the father of group dynamics, unfreezing, moving, refreezing you, three key steps to brainwashing, literally. Now, I don't have it in this issue, but in some other issues, I give you a technical, not Hunter's book on brainwashing. That's just explaining the results of it. But the technical definition of the procedure of brainwashing itself, which is built on Kurt Lewin's process of unfreezing, moving, and freezing, one and the same. And force field analysis, two forces in the room. There's the negative force and the positive force. The negative is the father, discussion. The positive is the children, dialogue. And so you have to evaluate the strength of the room. How strong is it towards discussion versus dialogue? Because you don't want to go too fast, too far, or people will jump out of the process. So you're always evaluating the strength of these forces and able to move the room from discussion to dialogue, from the father's authority to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Anyway, getting to the quote. The group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perception, his feelings, and his actions. Kurt Lewin, in Kenneth Bonet's book, Human Relations in Curriculum Change, a friend of mine, Phil Ring, called it a cookbook on humans. And it is. It's Kenneth Bonet's doctoral dissertation, but it has Moreno, J.L. Moreno, Kurt Lewin, and all kinds of other men's input chapter after chapter on how to destroy the patriarchal paradigm in the consciousness of the individual and society. He wrote, and it's very technical, it is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. Why? Your desire to belong, your desire of identity. The group's going in the direction you want. Your dad says you can't do it. Which direction are you going to go? The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. In other words, what's the new values and belief system? It's dialoguing to right and wrong behavior, no longer discussion, which makes you subject to the father's authority and missing out on the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Kurt Lewin, in Wilbur Brookover's book, A Sociology of Education, wrote, "The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group." If you remove a traditional teacher and put a facilitator of change up there, you're going to have direct effect upon the students in the classroom. It's no different than God in the garden, his way of thinking and doing things versus the serpent. You just replace one leader with the other, and it has a direct effect. Every facilitator of change follows the pattern of Genesis 3, 1 through 6. He can do nothing else. It's to force dialogue into the environment, and that's what happened. I feel like touching a tree. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Forcing dialogue as the means, or seducing a person into dialogue to produce the outcome. God does not do dialogue. He does discussion. He knows right from wrong. In dialogue, you discover right from wrong from your carnal desires. So the child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group. Very important to understand that. Barker, Dembo, and Lewin in Frustration Regression Experiment with Young Children in Child Behavior and Development, a classic work. They were able in the 40s to evaluate children in determining they could actually evaluate the home structure through the processes that they used with the children in the rooms that they were doing activities in. Quote, change in methods of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of the group. Now I'm going to talk about Bloom's taxonomy. When that curriculum came in, it changed the way the teacher behaved in the classroom, which directly affected the students. Traditional parents did not understand this. They just thought it was just a new modern way of teaching that would help the kids learn facts. No, the teachers became facilitators of change, following the same pattern, the identical pattern of Genesis 3, 1 through 6, with the master facilitator of change producing his desired outcome. The children deciding for themselves through dialogue, that's what will happen, what is right and wrong behavior, negating the father's authority, what God said in the outcome. Any real change of a culture of a group is therefore interwoven with the changes of the power constellation within the group. Getting back to Karl Marx, Feuerbach thesis number 3. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, the former must then itself be destroyed. Now, he used the word vernichtet, which means annihilated, which is negated. It's the most caustic word he could use. In other words, there is no thought. There is no concept of a father in the child's mind. It's gone. He says, once you realize that earthly family, what's that? The father telling his children right from wrong behavior and holding them accountable. It's discovered to be the secret of the holy family, where the father tells the son what is right and wrong behavior and holds himself and everyone who follows him accountable for their behavior. Same pattern. He rejected the holy family. He wrote a book about it. He rejected that. And so all he saw was the earthly family producing in the children a concept of the holy family, therefore, in his mind, perverting society. And so again, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, where's he going to go? He's going to go to destroy the earthly family, the father's authority in the home. No other purpose. The former, the earthly family, and this is reflected in the king. See, he was ahead of the home, the nation. And so from top down. Now we changed this because we kept the king in America. The French Revolution killed the king. They followed the Marxist concept. Even though Marx wasn't born yet, it was the same procedure, Genesis 3, 1 through 6. But in America, we kept the king. We put him in the home, the Bill of Rights. That's the power of the king. And so the parent in the home over their children retained the father's authority in the home. We didn't touch it. We didn't destroy it. That's why the liberals have to get rid of the Constitution with its Bill of Rights, because that protects the father's authority in the home. Well, psychology, because of dialogue, I'll get ahead of myself. Focus on the family. Whoa, no, you focus on the father, not the family. Because if you focus on the family, you have the father, the mother, and the children. It's to focus on relationship. So how do you resolve any conflict? You dialogue. And when you dialogue, the father's neutered. He's destroyed. He's annihilated. He's negated. So focus on the family, built off of psychology, could only have the outcome of destroying the father's authority, who has the final say. There is no other outcome. Now, the father can reject it, but he cannot participate in focus on the family. And I spoke to Focus on the Family twice, and the staff agreed with me privately. While the heavenly father is holy and the earthly father is born into sin, both have the same authority system, preaching commands and rules to be obeyed as given, teaching facts and truth to be accepted as is, at first at least by faith, and applied. discussing with those under his authority any questions they might have regarding his commands, rules, facts, and truth, providing he deems it necessary, has time, those under his authority are able to understand, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking his authority, rewarding those who do right and obey, correcting and or chastening those who do wrong and or disobey, that they might learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate their self in order to do right and not wrong according to his established commands, rules, facts, and truth that they have been taught or told, that is, in order to do the Father's will. And casting out, that means expelling or grounding those who question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack his authority, which retains the Father's authority system in the children or man's thoughts, directly affecting their actions, resulting in those under the Father's authority knowing, in caps, right from wrong, from being told, especially when it comes to behavior. It is the guilty conscience which is engendered by the Father's authority that sustains the Father's authority in the child and in society. The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be the father of oneself. Now, this is written by a Marxist, Norman O'Brown. He's given us a definition, but from a Marxist perspective, so he's going to be derogative in his definition. But he does give us a definition. The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be the father of oneself. What we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects, not part of ourself. Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our earthly fathers might give us standards of the past that are not relevant today, but God always gives us standards in the past that are relevant for today and tomorrow and throughout eternity. They reject the Heavenly Father, so they reject that understanding. If you go to dialogue, you have to understand this. You go to dialogue, that's all gone. The Father's authority, there is no Father's authority. There is no absolute or the consequence for disobeying in dialogue. It's not there. It's not present. And if you bring it in, you can't dialogue. If you bring discussion into dialogue, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You cannot do what you want to do. You have to do what the Father tells you to do or be held accountable. Dr. Chijanovitz, who set up the COPS program, the French Revolution, they found out it was the sheriff that was the most powerful office on earth. Really is. And his loyalty was because of discussion under his parents and the culture of local provinces or parishes. He was loyal to the parish. They had to restructure all the parishes and destroy the authority structure of the sheriffs so they could gain control of France. Well, now they simply get your local sheriff to meet with other sheriffs across the county lines and go, I feel and I think, and everything of the standards of your local culture that sheriff would have a guilty conscience he would identify with is gone. He's neutered. The personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control. This is Dr. Chijanovitz. He's defining a very good definition of the conscience. The personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control, refraining from deviant behavior even when it can be easily perpetrated. Your child can do something wrong, but he won't do it. Nobody's around. He's safe, but he won't do it. The family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior. And you would think this would be the purpose of his book, entitled The Meaning of Community and Community Policing. No, in that book, he says we must use crime to gain access to the community. So you're going to bring the community together. You're going to have them dialogue how they feel, what they think, in regards to how to solve this problem, and you're neutering the Father's authority in the home, the direct outcome. The UN does this every time they go into a nation. They will get the women together to solve a problem, whether it's infections from barbed wire stuff in the water, whatever. They will bring the women together and they will have them dialogue. And when they come home, they have the facts, but it's through dialogue, and it destroys the father's authority in a home. It works. It works. There is no father's authority. That is judgment, condemnation, fear of being cast out in dialogue. Therefore, using dialogue to establish right and wrong behavior negates not only the father's authority, it negates the guilty conscience as well. Kurt Lewin, in A Dynamic Theory of Personality, gives us in two sentences a definition of how the conscience is developed and a definition of how to destroy it. First sentence. Now, he uses the word negative valence for conscience or the guilty conscience. The negative valence of a forbidden object which in itself attracts the child. In other words, the child is drawn to, you're drawn away by the lust, okay? Something environment is drawing him, but he's been told. Dad says you can't do it. And also, he's going to punish you if you do. And so he says this feeling of guilt of a forbidden object, which in itself attracts the child, is thus usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. There's that negative force. You ever been in a meeting? Let's be positive, not negative. That's Marxism. That's Marxism. It is this field of force. If this field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, if the adult goes away or loses his authority, the negative valence also disappears. All we have to do in this classroom, in the workplace, in government, in wherever you go, the judge, all you have to do is go to dialogue. I feel and I think. And the law of restraint is negated. The guilty conscience is negated. When the guilty conscience, while the guilty conscience ties the child to the father, or rather the father to the child, the superego ties the child to society. See, the conscience is no compromise. Superego is compromise for the relationship. A book I'm going to talk about, Benjamin Bloom's Taxonomy of Education. There's two books, Cognitive Domain, Book 2, Affective Domain. He wrote in the second book, Book 2, Affective Domain, superego development is conceived as the incorporation of the moral standards of society. In other words, it's compromise where we get along. It's not doing the father's will. It's doing what we as a collective feel is right and resent what is wrong. Therefore, the levels of the taxonomy should describe successive levels of goal setting appropriate to superego development. Guess who's out? God's out, the parents out. Discussion in its true form is out. They'll use the word discussion, but it's always a result of dialogue. It is the Father's authority system itself that Karl Marx was out to negate. Having denied the Heavenly Father's authority and all he had to do was negate the earthly father's authority, which he believed engendered the heavenly father's authority, that is religion. Sigmund Freud had the same agenda. In Herbert Marcuse's book, by the way, we get If It Feels Good, Just Do It, from his book, Eros and Civilization, A Psychological Inquiry into Freud, he wrote, now he's defining, in this book, Sigmund Freud. And he ties him to Karl Marx. They both had the same process. One individual, one society. He wrote, the hatred against patriarchal suppression, a barrier to incest, the desire for the sons to return to the mother, culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons, the collective killing and devouring of the father. What did you say? Well, the children, see, by nature, they're incestuous. They're perverse. Their eros is their morality. And so they're having sexual relationship. And this is Freud. They're having sexual relationship with one another in the family. Look at a culture today. We would not have the culture today if it wasn't for the practice of psychology. And people say, oh, you can't go that far. This is Sigmund Freud. You cannot take I feel and I think into establishing right and wrong behavior without ending up somewhere down that. You might say, well, I'm not like him down the road. You're on the same path. It's just a matter of time, an environment, a situation. How do we get to where kids can go to school and they'll think they're a cat, and so the classroom will actually have a litter box for them. This is sick people. In fact, Norman O'Brown said, to study Freud, you must become mad. Then he said, well, the world's mad anyway, so this is the only solution we have, is to become mad. And we've become mad because we've practiced psychology, which is dialogue, which God cannot speak through. And so what happens is these children are practicing incest, sexual relationship with one another and with the mother, Oedipus complex. And the father says, no, that's my wife, that's your mother, you're out of here. There's right and there's wrong behavior. Same thing God did with in the garden. One author says God is the anthropological source of alienation. The words you have to overcome is cannot, must not, thou shalt not. It is written, thus saith the Lord, because I said so. And so the father drives them out and they come to consensus. They dialogue their opinions to a consensus. That's the procedure. That's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And they come back. And they not only kill the father, they eat him. They devour him. Oh, what do you mean? Why? Well, if you kill him, there's a tombstone. And the next generation comes by and they go, well, who's that? Well, that's dad. What happened to him? Well, we killed him. You killed him? Well, what did he do? He kept telling us what we could or couldn't do. Now you've restored the concept of the guilty conscience. And so you had to devour him. You have your child in a classroom developing behavior, and they use dialogue. There's no father's authority. You just devoured him. He's gone. So then he says, quote, it is not really a decisive matter whether one has killed one's father or abstained from the deed if the function of the conflict and its consequences are the same. In other words, if the father or the husband, desire of the wife is to the husband, The children obey the father. If the husband or father no longer functions in the office of authority and enforcement, he's neutered. If you force the family into dialogue, how do you feel, what do you think to resolve problems? Dad can stick around. He just neutered. Spiritually dead. Under God. Dead. Sigmund Freud's history of the prodigal son is not of the son coming to his senses, humbling himself, returning home, submitting himself to his father's authority, learning his inheritance was not his father's money, but his father's love for him. That's Luke 15, 11 through 24. But Freud's history of the son is the sons joining with one another, with their friends, returning home, killing the father, making all that was his the father's. See, whatever they see, they own. In dialogue, whatever you see, you own. In discussion, no. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In dialogue, the earth, this is Rousseau, the earth belongs to no one, is fruit to everyone. In other words, to the facilitator of change. He's the one who defines terms. So he owns it all. You can work hard in your field, and he can come along and harvest whatever he wants, and you don't dare say a thing because it belongs to everybody, to him. What he sees, he owns. It's your town council. What they see, they own. Site-based management. That's what the woman in the garden, what she saw, she owned. Well, this tree, I own this tree too. That's what dialogue does. But the son joining with his friends, returning home, killing the father, taking all that was his, the father's, using it to satisfy their carnal desires. Look at the woke generation, their lust, killing all the fathers in the land, devouring the fathers, so all the children can be the same like them, thereby affirming them, their incest, justifying and supporting their control over them, owning them. Abraham Maslow, in his Journals of Abraham Maslow, he explains the merging of Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx. Marxian theory needs Freudian type instinct theory to round it out, and of course, vice versa. Third force psychology is epimarxian in this sense, that is, including the most basic scheme of true good social conditions are necessary for personal growth. What's the good social conditions? The removal of the father's authority. So the group, that's through dialogue, deciding right and wrong behavior through dialogue. There's no father's authority, so now we have a true good social condition. Bad social conditions stunt human growth or nature. Well, what's that? That's the father's authority. That's discussion, telling you what you can or cannot do and holding you accountable. This is to say, one could reinterpret Marx into a self-actualization fostering third and fourth force psychology philosophy. And my impression is, anyway, that is the direction in which they are going. In other words, society needs man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure, which dialogue brings into the environment, in order to become one, and man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure needs society or justification. That's the group. The liberation of self, of lust, out from under the Father's authority is necessary for personal growth, while submission of self to the Father's authority stunts human nature. Marxism is philosophy and psychology becoming at one with one another. It is in dialogue, which does not recognize the Father's authority, that all can become one, bypassing the Father's authority and making rules, policies, and laws, that is, in establishing right and wrong behavior, resulting in lust being right and the Father's authority being wrong. Now, Jürgen Habermas, another member of the Frankfurt School, he has written the language for the international law. A friend of mine who is a lawyer in Olympia, evaluating the laws that the people there, legislators, had written and making sure they were legal. Well, he wanted to get an international license, international law, and he told me, he said, he couldn't figure out the questions, much less how to answer them. Well, he didn't understand. You're to come up with a question. They give you the information, you know, what you use, but you come up with a question and then you answer your question. That's where we're going. One of the things I learned in Soviet law was jurisprudence of terror. Now, this is the group grade with any absolute-minded child in that group grade. He's going through terror. Jurisprudence of terror takes two forms, loosely defined rules. See, rules that can be easily changed and laws that can be easily changed by those in authority. That's what dialogue does. Dialogue is death to your soul when it comes to right and wrong behavior. And so Jürgen Habermas wrote in Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3, the idea of the theory of knowledge as social theory. In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself and the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. The man who came up with the climate change scenario, the Rio conference and all that followed, Irvin Laszlo, in his book, A Strategy for the Future, The Systems Approach to World Order. I'm really frustrated because what little I can share here. I'm just focusing on the process. But he lists how big the population should be at the end of a healthy world. It's frightening. And it's where they're going. But anyway, he writes, and this is important because the word consensus means with feelings. We're deciding right and wrong on feelings, not on the conscience. Conscience means with science, with facts, with truth. Consensus means with feelings, with lust. What can I get out of this for me? It's all vanity. Quote, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. Let me repeat that. Bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. How do you do that? Dialogue. It's that easy. Our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into, there's no father's authority in opinion, into an effective instrument of global politics. So you have to train the local up and go all the way up in practicing this process. That's why all the schools practice the group grade. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests or lust interests, ultimately to world interests, that is lust interests, transforming public consensus, feeling of oneness, into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. Anybody who's been in total quality management, anybody, literally the whole world has gone to the consensus process. It's a political system. When you chasing your child, when dad takes the belt off and is going to correct the child's behavior, that's a political system. When you have a discussion on right and wrong behavior, that's a political system. A different political system is when you use dialogue. It's a totally different political system. One negates or judges the other. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps.